God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and held in reverence of all them that are about him. For thou, O God, hath magnified thy word above thy name. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, right in dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth, the word of God. Hosea chapter 4, verse 2. Hosea chapter 4, verse 2. We're continuing in the 2009 National Crisis Bible Study Series, lesson number 78, May 20th, 2009. We're in the book of Hosea. We have reached Hosea chapter 4, where we have gotten down to where we're dealing with verse by verse at this point of time. God's indictment of a nation. God's indictment of a nation. All right, before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer. Give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit. You have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your Word, for your Word is absolute truth. We claim your promise. Your Word will not return void, will accomplish all you design it for. We ask you to sanctify it and to bless it. In the name of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We're not going to repeat all that we've already covered on the doctrine of adultery. We'll pick up again at major point 10. The woman who practices adultery for the sensual pleasure of sex only is incapable of recognizing her evil because she is under false delusion within her soul. Proverbs 30, verse 20. I'll remind you from Hosea 4, 2 first what the verse says. Hosea 2, 4. I'm sorry, I said 4, 2. Hosea 2, 4. 4, 2. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. The blood touches blood is murder upon murder. Now, Proverbs 30, verse 20, deals with the woman, the sexually immoral woman. Who has no concept of the wrong in her self-delusion of her soul that she's doing. The way of the adulterous woman. The American Standard says, I read it to you in the King James last class. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. Proverbs, look at Proverbs 5, 6. We'll also read it from the New American Standard. We're primary reading from the King James. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. Doesn't consider the consequences of what she's doing. His women have been called trollops, they've been called whores, sluts, all kinds of names have been put upon them. But in their self-delusion, they don't realize it. Barroom roses. Sad. Sad to watch people grow old in their sin and in their bitterness. We're going to see a lot. If the Lord tarries, I won't see it. I won't live that long. But if the Lord tarries, America reaps the results in the next few years of all the baby boomers that have played around with drugs. And the X generation has played around with drugs and all the things that go with it. We're going to really see something in this country. And the sadness, the tragedy, and the bitterness of it. And I predict that the young people, because I see it all the time, I walk with a cane, have people almost knock me down on the streets, men 40 years old, women stampeding through doors and stuff, push you down, trying to push, go through a revolving door because there was no other door to go through. A while back, a woman gave the thing a hard shove as she stepped out of the front, knowing I was behind her with a cane because she had passed me. Down there just for the fun of it, as she stepped out. I say it a lot. The healthy young people looking down their nose at the old, the sick, the weak, get out of our way. We're a nation of selfish people. We're going to reap it. But the old trollops, as we used to call them, bitter old women whose bodies are emaciated from alcohol or drugs are going to pay a terrible price. I see some of them on the streets of Seattle sitting begging down there, and some of them in pretty bad shape. Some of you can tell have been on drugs. Everything about them, males too. But this is the case of the woman, where is the example given here, but it would fit the man the same. The man is stupidity. The man often knows what he's doing, keeps going, but the woman is more easily able to create her own false delusion. Hey, children of an adulterer, like the children of an occult worshiper, of a professional whore, are the products of a sinful, evil lifestyle. And we gave you these verses in the last chapter, Isaiah 57:3-4, 7-9, compared to Malachi 3:5, Isaiah 1:4. And 21 in Matthew 16:4. All right, point B, where we ran out of time. These children will be susceptible to demon worship and will grow up with the mind of a criminal. Isaiah 57:5. We're reaping in America what we have sown. And let me tell you something. This is verse first. Behold, the door is also on the post, as I remembered, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. They've abandoned God. They've abandoned God for false gods. Adultery is often compared in Scripture to false worship. I read you 50. And let's see, I want to read you the King New American Standard 57:5 says, inflame yourselves among the oaks under the luxurious trees, who slaughter the children in the ravines on the clefts of the crags. King James, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys on the cliffs of the rocks. So you see from verse 8, the reaping of it behind the doors and also the posts. They set up the remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed. Enlarging thy bed is the pagan worship system. We notice in verse 5 that idols will inflame the valley, slaying the children. Verses 6 and 7 says, among the smooth stones of the stream is the portion that they are allot. Even them that poured a drink offering, thou hast offered a meat offering, shall I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Come even hither. When it's thou up to offer sacrifices. See, they're offering pagan sacrifices to pagan gods, and they want to turn around and worship the true and living God at the same time. But it's acceptable to the mind of a criminal, as verse 5 points out. Principle, only salvation in Bible doctrine can break the curse, the four-generation curse. Only salvation in Bible doctrine can break the four generation curse. You say, what four generation curse? Have you ever read your Bible? Exodus 20 says, where the law is given, the commandments, the introduction to the whole Mosaic covenant says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and of the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me. We've dealt with that before, the four generation curse. Only the word of God can break it. Principle. Religious sexual perversion leads through demonism to child sacrifices upon those who hate God. Religious sexual perversion, that's where it's tied into religion, leads through demonism eventually to child sacrifices by those who hate God. They'll get so involved in demon worship, they'll make human child sacrifices. Now, I know we don't have anybody laying children on altars generally in America and burning them today, but we've got some terrible things. We've got many parents who are on drugs and stuff killing their own children. Who knows what goes on in the mind of some of these things that we read about. We also have children killing parents. I realize that, too. These are serious things that we're talking about. We have a nation where blood touches blood. One killing follows another so close. And we've had a number of cases of fathers or mothers or mother's lover, whoever, killing children. Press is full of it these days. Far more than we want to think about. How tragic and how sad. This wasn't known in my day as a young man. Like it is today, it was rare then. Demonism takes over. They sacrifice them in other ways too. They sacrifice them by giving them up to drugs, by introducing them young into sexual degeneracy, incest, all kinds of terrible things. Point 12, adultery is compared to the worship of false gods, Jeremiah 3:8. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backslid Israel committed adultery, I put her away and gave her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. So point A, the worship of false gods is compared to a woman having sex with a wooden phallus, or phallus made out of stone. Jeremiah 3:9. You may think I'm being crude, but I'm reading the word of the living God. Jeremiah 3:9. And it came to pass to the likeness of her whoredoms that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. That's the King James translation, and the NASV translated it. It came about because the likeness of her harlotry that she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and with trees. That's stone phalluses and wooden phalluses. The dildo of their day. Some of them so large that women tore themselves apart on them in wild sexual abandonment and killed themselves on riding phalluses. This is, and I'm trying not to be crude or make you sick. This is historically documented, particularly in the pagan temples of Greece and Rome. I've always been amazed at how much we stupid Americans admire classical Greece and Rome, the Greco-Roman Empire, with all of its degeneracy. And we admire it. We don't talk about what Jesus Christ said in the Bible, but we want to talk about what Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates had to say. Yet they're in Hades today awaiting the white throne judgment. Point B. An inanimate object cannot provide any tenderness, love, or real pleasure, but represents the self-flagellation of someone who has sunk to the lowest level of human understanding. Sin or virginism, adultery leads to participation in sexual orgies, verses 7 to 9. Jeremiah 5, 7 to 9. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods, and I had fed them to the full, and they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlot's house. That's coming together for the orgy. They were as fed horses in the morning, everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such nations as this? The wife swapper club, see? Right there in the Bible. You didn't know wife swapper clubs were in the Bible. You thought they were invented in the 1960s in the United States. No. They've been here all the time. The evil of men. Why should I pardon you, your sons, for forsaking me? I'm reading up in the New American Standard. Sworn by those who are not gods, when I fed them to the full, they committed adultery, trooped to the harlot's house. They were well-fed, lusty horses, each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. Shall I punish these people, declares the Lord, on such a nation such as this? Shall I not avenge myself? They're like a well-fed, lusty horse, a stallion out to chase the mares. Sow the wind and weep the whirlwinds. Point B, unbelievers who practice adultery can become involved through sexual relations with people who are under demon possession, and when they become demon possessed themselves, they will sacrifice their children to Satan. Unbelievers who practice adultery can become involved through sexual relations with people who are under demon possession, and when they become demon possessed themselves, they will sacrifice their children to Satan. Ezekiel 23:37. And I remind you that illicit drugs, mind-altering drugs, are involved in demonism, because that's where the word for demons in the Old Testament comes from, the same word, root word that we get pharmaceuticals from today. Ezekiel 23:37. Now, they have committed adultery and blood in their hands, and with their idols they have committed adultery, and have also caused their sons whom they bear to me to pass for them through the fire to devour them. The fires of Moloch, human sacrifices of children, child sacrifices by burning them up. 40, when believers become involved in adultery, they often try to cloak it in a facade of biblical authority, which is blasphemous. Jeremiah 29:23. Because they have committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives and spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know, and am a witness, saith the Lord. A number of years ago, a pastor I knew got involved in a false doctrine. I was told it was a doctrine that was being taught, promoted by some weirdo pastors called your spiritual connection, where your wife was not your spiritual connection. And one church I know about, I'm not saying the church with this pastor had good enough about what he did, except he was teaching the doctrine led to a church split. And I have not seen the man since it happened. But I know another church in our area where it was going on, where they acknowledged that they had church through Saturday night dances. And this pastor taught the spiritual connection wasn't your wife. And this led to the people making their spiritual connections in a wife swapping type thing, where somebody else was their true love. So they had two loves, their husband and their spiritual connection. And their spiritual connection was they had sex with them too. False teaching. The spiritual realm of the things of God have nothing to do with the materialistic world. That's why I said you don't beg for money. Too many Christians, churches beg for money. Begging for money is just as evil as anything else, because it is saying that God is not able to supply and finance his own ministry. That God did not mean it when he said, I shall supply all your needs according to his abundant riches in Christ Jesus. This includes the needs of a local church ministry or a missionary outreach parachurch ministry like we have. God must supply them. God is in charge. Where's our faith in a sovereign God for? Well, it's just as real as that, is the realization that the marriage is a temporal life institution that God has sanctioned. It is not a ordinance of the church, as the Catholic Church would teach. Marriage is not a church ordinance. We have only two church ordinances, baptism, which is once, water baptism, and the communion table, which is an ongoing thing. But it's divinely sanctioned for material and temporal living. And what God has joined together, Scripture says, let no man put asunder. Point E. When believers become involved in adultery, they often try to to cloak it in a facade of biblical authority, which is blasphemous. Jeremiah 29:23. Spiritual believers are motivated to flee far from the presence of adulterers, especially those who cloak it in religious garb. Jeremiah 9:2-3. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might may leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. They shall know me, saith the Lord, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Point G, adultery destroys the beauty of a nation in the eyes of the spiritual believer because he sees a contrast between the lifestyle of his nation and the holiness of God. Jeremiah 23:9-10. How can you look at America today and say God is looking to bless this country? We all want to stand up and sing, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. God bless America, land that I love. But look at America today. Look at America today. Every kind of sin and perversion we can think of is here. Immorality runs wild. On the other side, we've got moral depravity. And the morally depraved person says it's perfectly all right for two homosexuals to get married. But they turn around and say in their morality, we'll accept that, but what we won't accept is somebody lighting a cigarette on a street in a restaurant. We'll accept adultery, fornication, lesbianism, male homosexuality, but we won't accept people putting trans fats in the foods. Christians sit by in stupidity and ignorance, don't understand it. We were recently yelling, we got to put sin taxes higher on tobacco and on whiskey. It's all right, we need more money for that. And the people cheered, and the Christians clapped, and I know some of them who did. And now they're going to panic out because the next step is they're going to put sales tax in our state on soda pop. And on sweet coffee drinks, the lattes, I don't drink them. I drink my coffee black and straight with a special tax when they put the sugar in there. See, going to reduce down the amount of sugar people drink. It's going to be good. They talk about it. They put pious goodness on it. Say, you know, we got an obese children. They're drinking too much soda pop. We'll put a tax on soda pop and it'll stop it. No. Just makes it harder for people to have to give up something else. I wouldn't condone them drinking. I wouldn't condone them smoking. I wouldn't condone anything. Just make an example to you to wake up. How ridiculous we are. State of Washington controls the liquor industry. You want a bottle of whiskey, you go down and buy it in the state liquor store. They get the they're the wholesaler, so they get the profit, and the retailer boasts they make the profit off that, plus the taxes that they make off of it. And they turn around and arrest you for a DUI. Driving under the influence, confiscate your car, which they sell or puts the money into their coffers, sends you off to prison. A lot of states now, they've contracted with private prisons, and they're actually billing women to pay for their husbands stay in jail. Some states are doing that. They're threatening to put people in jail for not paying for their husbands being in jail. Who's going to pay for them? And they don't see the hypocrisy of some of this. I read these things in papers. I'm just shocked at the stupidity of some of the things I read. We're headed back toward the Bastille. We're headed back to the days of things going by. They said man was getting better. All these things were beyond man. We're seeing them turn back around. Point 13. An accepted lifestyle of adultery is one of the indictments God brings against the nation he is preparing to destroy. Hosea 4, 1 and 2. This time I'll read it to you from the New American Standard to give you a break from the King James. Listen to the words of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case that is, in my translation, indictments. What the word means is we saw against her, the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. So point A. Eventually the young woman in such a nation will become temple whores and demon activity. Eventually the young women in such a nation will become temple whores and demon activity. Hosea 4:13a. They offer sacrifices on the tops of the mountains and burn incense under the hills. Under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is pleasant, therefore your daughters play the harlot. B. This will lead many wives into demon occult sexual adultery also, verse 13b. And your brides commit adultery. Sacrifice to heathen gods were offered on the tops of the mountains and were accompanied by immoral ceremony. Point C. As judgment against the nation, God will allow the continuation of this sexual degeneracy for an extended period of time as these daughters and wives have reached the level of common whoredom, and all those who reject God have come under their demon influence. Now, some would say it's better to translate the word brides there as daughters-in-law. Either way, it's the same concept there. Women who are married involve in adultery. Hosea 4:14. I will not punish your daughters when they play the harlot, or your brides when they commit adultery. To the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with temple prostitutes, so the people without understand are ruining. Without understanding are ruined. Notice that. The people told not to worship at what they formerly called holy cities, Gilgal and Bethaven, which means house of wickedness, and Hosea's name for Bethel, which means house of God. Point H. God declares that thus this evil produces greater evil, like a baker making dough rise. Hosea 7:4. They are all adulterers, like an oven heated by a baker, who ceases to stir up the fire for the kneading of the dough until it is leavened. Verse 5 says, on the day of our king, the princes become sick with the heat of wine. He stretched out his hand with the scoffers. Hosea describes a particularly despicable time of revelry, perhaps a coronation or a royal birthday. The lust of the leaders burned like an oven for the sins that they were going to commit. Point I, at this point, God promises to strike hard with the justice of God against that nation, Malachi 3:5. come near to you in judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearer. Notice he's against the demon worshippers to start with. The sorcerers, the demon worshippers, adulterers tied into it, against the false swearers, against those who oppress, the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, all right, those who abuse people and income. Massive profits have been taken by the leaders of corporations and businesses while they're trying to starve out and destroy the middle class and the poor of this country. The widow and the fatherless, and they that turn aside the stranger for his right and fear not me, saith the Lord. Chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. And this have you done, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying. Ah, then so much that he regardeth not the offering any more, receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness against thee, and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet as she thy companion, the wife of thy covenant, and did not make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth, for the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. This is the condemnation, by the way, you'll notice, of men who trade their wife of their youth for their trophy wives as they grow older. You see how much God's got to say about all the things that we see in our nation today? One 14, God compares adultery by one marriage partner and the hurt it gives, the one who is faithful and still loves him, to his love for the reversionistic believer. Hosea 3, 1 to 4. Read from the American Standard. The Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loved the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. She's loved by her husband much better than she's loved by her paramour. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. And I said to her, you may stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man, so I will also be toward you. Gomer no longer considered Hosea's wife had to be restored that position to the customary practice of purchase. The price of a slave was 30 shekels of silver. Hosea apparently paid half in money and half in grain to reclaim his wife, who had played the harlot, who had gone out and become a slave, a sex slave. Gomer was forced into seclusion for some days, symbolizing Israel's future exile from the land. But the judgment of God still must condemn the nation. Hosea 2, 1 to 3. Say to your brother Amma and to your sister Ruhamah, contend with your mother, contend, for she is not my wife and I am not her husband, and they have put away her harlotry from her face and her adultery from between her breasts. Lest I strip her naked and expose her the day when she was born, I will also make her like a wilderness, make her like a desert land, and slay her with thirst. Now the sisters refer to individual Israelites, and mother refers to nation and dream. Gomer's adultery is used as an illustration of Israel's unfaithfulness. The words in verse 2 are some of those used as the Jewish formula for a divorce. Point B, even the children will suffer in that day, for they are the product of reversionistic anti-God society, Isaiah 2, 4 and 5. 4 and 5a. Also, I will have no compassion on their children, because they are children of harlotry, for their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers. See, in that day God's judgment, no pleasure will be found in morality, verse 5b. For I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. D, but it will be too late to return to the marriage partner who was spiritual. Verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up her ways with thorns. I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her path. Go after a paramour, says, or worship Baal and the other Canaanite gods, but they didn't find satisfaction. Verse 7, and she will pursue her lovers, but she will not overtake them. She will seek them, but she will not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my first husband, for it is better than they. But there will be no going back. Lord 15, the only answer to adultery is confession of sin and repentance. And moving on, 1 John 1, 7 to 10. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We confess our sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, point 16. Adultery is distinct from fornication. Adultery is distinct from fornication. Point A, adultery is sexual intercourse between a man and a married or engaged woman. One, the woman's body belongs to her husband, his body belongs to her. Genesis 2:24. Alright, adultery is sexual intercourse between a man or a woman and a married or engaged man or woman. Subpoint one, the woman's body belongs to her husband, his body belongs to her. Genesis 2:24. To have adultery, one of the marriage partners must, one of the partners must be married. Or both of them, sorry, in the case of the woman, she has to be married. We'll explain in a minute. Adultery, sexual intercourse between a man and a man or engaged woman. The woman's body belongs to her husband and his body belongs to her. Genesis 2:24. Hang in here, you'll get something different you may have ever had. I've taught this before, some of you have. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Two, in adultery, the man steals the sexual pleasures of another man's wife. B, fornication is all sexual activity outside of marriage between a man and a woman. All right, there has to be a woman married for it to be adultery. You say, well, what if the man is married? The man can take the woman under, in the Hebrew law, under the concept of polygamy. Polygamy was permitted, not directive will of God, but the permissive will of God. God says if a man joins himself to whore in 1 Corinthians for sex, he's married to her. The man and the marriage becomes the issue for what is. Now the man is an adulterer, and the faithful is to break his vows. Understand this. When a man commits adultery, a married man commits adultery with a single woman, it is a sin of fornication. There is a difference you need to understand. And when he commits adultery with a married woman, is one sin less than another? No, but God differentiates, and we need to for a reason. B, fornication is all sexual activity outside of marriage. Subpoint one, the Greek word porneia, P-R-N-E-A, is used for illicit sexual intercourse. I'm not going to read all these verses. I'll give them to you. John 8:41, Acts 15:20, and 29, 21, 25, 1 Corinthians 5:1. And 6:13-18. 2 Corinthians 12:21, Galatians 5:19, Ephesians 5:3, 2 Corinthians 3:5. 2, fornication would include sexual intercourse when it is adultery. Notice what I says, sexual intercourse includes adultery. All adultery is a sin of fornication also. All fornication is not adultery, though. 3, fornication includes other sexual activities besides intercourse outside of marriage. Oral sex between a man and a woman is fornication when not performed inside of marriage. Subpart B, fornication includes sexual masturbation, oral sex, and intercourse between a man and a woman as premarital sex. C, when a man has intercourse with an unmarried woman, even a prostitute, he is married to her by divine standards. 1 Corinthians 6:16. Chew on this one, see, and you'll see something different. Now, God does not authorize polygamy, but he permits directly command polygamy, that he permits it. Why did he permit it? Because it kept stability in the society. He realized if every man had to marry and support, be financially responsible to support every woman he went after to have sex with, how quickly, if the law was enforced, you'd get rid of a lot of fornication. First of all, a woman couldn't have more than one lover because she'd be stoned to death. Once she had sex the first person, she was married to him under. 1 Corinthians 6:16 says, or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he said the two will be one flesh. That is a strong statement. If any man ever had intercourse with a woman, he was married to her. If she was already married, there's a real problem because she's got two husbands and that's forbidden by God. Nowhere was the polygamy of more than one husband authorized, but there was the polygamy of more than one wife. But there is no happiness in it. There is no blessing in it. Nowhere in Scripture is there a single statement of anybody having a happy polygamous marriage. That's interesting to see. But I want you to see the concept of it. Man goes down by and pays a prostitute. He's married to her, God says. Well, she can't be a prostitute anymore. She's got to take her home and take care of her. Man, two teenagers fornicate. They're married, the Word of God says. So, put the man to work. Put the wife in the home. Changes everything, doesn't it? But I'm not promoting polygamy. I'm just showing how the Word of God made it happen that way. South Carolina used to have a law. I'm sure they don't have it anymore because many laws have been repealed. But for many years, South Carolina had a law that if an unmarried couple slept overnight in the same bed, I believe that's how it was written, but the night together, they were married. It's been years since I researched it, but I think I'm right on that was how it was. One night. Common law marriage. Well, common law marriage, even though most states don't recognize it anymore, supersedes all contract marriages because in contract marriages, the state is creating the marriage. In common law marriage, God says they're already there. They've committed themselves. Now go live up to it. Principle. If both the man and the woman are married, both the man and the woman are married, they are both adulterers. Principle, adultery occurs when a woman is married to another man. The man is married to the other man, the woman is single, that is fornication. But she's to be his wife under the principle of 1 Corinthians 6:16. All right, so adultery occurs when a woman is married to another man different from the one with whom she's having sexual intercourse. Principle. When a single woman has intercourse for the first time, she is married to that man. On the principle of 1 Corinthians 6:16, this is in the eyes of God, not legally, but in the eyes of God. Makes a strong standard. Makes a higher standard than you and I imagine God to walk with. We want God to walk by our low standards of looking at life and interpreting life our way. Oh God, look at what I got going for me. Let me tell you what it's like, Lord. Or I said, wait a minute, let me tell you what my standard is. Isaiah chapter 55, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, that you'll have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are superior to our ways. God condemns all adultery and all fornication, but like I say, fornication covers it all. Alright. Now, Hosea 4:2, Bible Expanded Translation. The result is the swearing of false oath by government leaders and officials, by the leaders of business, commerce, finance, and industry, by citizens generally in their daily relationships, and by lying, slander, by revisionistic believers and unbelievers against the person of God, his holy character, his plan, and against his saints. The crime of murder, stealing, and adultery are up in the land. They break out. We have paras, P-A-R-A-S, paras, ruts. The cal preterite stem, active voice, subject produces the action of the verb. Now, the preterite sometimes stands for something as an absolute in past time. It is also used for the present, denoting a condition that has long existed and continues to do so. The word actually means to break into something violently by using forces to tear down a door or a wall. It represents an act of violence which is suddenly destructive. It is used to demonstrate an overthrow among the citizens of a nation. Here it means criminals violently breaking in to rape women and injure other members of the household. So it is a Hebrew idiom for violent rape following forced entry into the home. Doctrinal translation, criminals forcibly break into homes and violently rape the women. Doctrine of rape, definition. Rape is the use of violence to force someone to submit to a sexual act. 2. Rape of a married person or by a married person would follow the law of adultery, as the rapist would be subject to execution under national law. Exodus 20:14, read from New American Standard Translation. You shall not commit adultery. Exodus 20:10. Exodus 20:14, you shall not commit adultery. Exodus 20:10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord. I'm sorry, wait a minute. Got a typo here. Leviticus 20:10 is what I want. Leviticus 20:10. Didn't actually have a typo. I just read the wrong line through my glasses, partly. My bifocals. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall surely be put to death. 3. Rape of an unmarried person by an unmarried person is not adultery, but the sexual act is condemned under the law of fornication. Any fornication is all sexual activity outside of marriage, as the Greek word is porneia, P-O-R-N-E-I-E, which we attain as word pornography. B. Fornication is forbidden by God for every believer, Acts 15:19-20. Therefore is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turned to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, from fornication, and from what is strangled from blood. See, the Hebrew word for fornication elicits sex between single people, and all sex between single people is illicit, is the word zanah, Z-A-N-A-H. D. God condemns fornication, all that is a byproduct of it, Exodus 16:35-38. Ezekiel 16:35-38. Ezekiel. Therefore, hear the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because your lewdness was poured out, and your nakedness uncovered through your harlotries, and your lovers, and with all your detestable idols, and because of the blood of your sons, which you gave to idols. Therefore, behold, I shall gather all your lovers, with whom you took pleasure, even those whom you loved, and all those whom you hated, So I shall gather them against you forever, direction, expose your nakedness to them that may see all your nakedness. Then I shall judge you like women who commit adultery or shed blood or judge, and I shall bring on your blood of wrath and jealousy. For illicit sexual activities connected to demonism through false religion. Ezekiel 34:14-17. What I said to the wicked, you shall surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness. Wicked man restores a pledge, pay back what he has taken by robbery, walks by statutes which ensure life without committing iniquity. He will surely live, he shall not surely die. None of the sins he has remitted, committed will be remembered against him. He has practiced justice and righteousness, he will surely. I'm sorry, that's 33, I want 34:17, 14:17, my apology. Got distracted. I will feed them in a good pasture, and the grazing ground will be on the mountains high. They will lie down. In good grazing ground, and they will feed in rich pastures on mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind the broken, strength the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. God judges false leaders, but also those who trample on the poor. I look at Revelation 17:1-7. And one of the seven angels, which had seven bowls, came and spoke to me, saying, come here, I shall show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on the many waters. With whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of immorality, and he carried me away in spirit in the wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hands a golden cup full of the abomination of the unclean things were immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, the mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw, I wondered greatly, and the angel said unto me, why do you wonder? I shall tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast, character, which is the seven heads and the ten horns. The mystery of Babylon, the pagan worship system that began with Semiramis and her son Tammuz. Pagan worship system of what it is. Now, because rape includes violence and forces, it is a compilation of sins and not just the sin of illicit sex. If a rapist kills his victim, he's executed for murder, Exodus 21:12. He who strikes a man so he dies shall surely be put to death. B. Personal injury in a rape case would be included under the law of injuries, inducing payment for all medical care and loss of income, Exodus 21:18-19. And if a man have a quarrel with one, strikes him with a stone or with his fist, he does not die because he is in bed. If he gets up and walks around outside of his staff, then he who struck him shall go unpunished. He shall only pay for his loss of time and shall take care of him until he is completely healed. C. If a pregnant woman is raped and suffers a miscarriage, financial penalties are to be placed on the rapist and on the assailant. Exodus 21, 22, and 23. Men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child, so she has a miscarriage. Yet there is no further injury, she shall surely be found as the woman's husband. May the man him, and he shall pay as the judge decide. If there is any further injury, then you shall pour as a penalty life for life. All right. Now, rape is a very terrible thing, but all sexual sins are. We point out to you that polygamy is not the directive will of God, but it is not forbidden in Scripture. Specifically forbidden in Scripture, with the exception of the pastor teacher. A pastor teacher cannot be a polygamist, 1 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. It's the only place where it's forbidden directly. It is just where the statement of any man aspires to the office of an overseer is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, there must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Look at 1 Timothy 5, 9. I'm sorry, that's the wrong passage. All right, he is to be the husband of one wife. That's okay, I don't have the other passage in front of me. Okay, so 4:1. Therefore, a single man or a married man may become married to the woman he has sexual intercourse with if she is single, even if she is a whore. 1 Corinthians 6:16 points out. Now, if a man rapes a woman and she's single, he's to marry under the law. The man rapes a woman and she's single, he's to marry her under the law. We've already saw that on the principle. And we saw this back in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 28 and 29 earlier. A man find a damsel that is a virgin which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found. And the man that lay with her shall give the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt, forbids incest. What we have there in that passage is forcible rape in the field of the woman. It's tied into the rape concept there. The rape of a voluntary adultery between a betrothed woman we saw was to be executed. Rape. The rapist was to be killed. Now, we saw that the woman who is not a virgin, including the whore, actually is already married, even though she has not accepted the standard. The very first person she ever had sex with. Principle. If the government recognizes the believer stands, the biblical stand, spirit of marriage, government recognized the biblical standard of marriage between a woman and the first man with whom she has intercourse, it would reduce sexual promiscuity in a nation. If adulterers were executed, this would reduce sexual promiscuity in a nation. Fornication and adulterers are sins against God because God has forbidden them. Fornication and adultery destroys a person's physical body and mental health because it is a sin against a person's body. 1 Corinthians 6:18. You may not have thought about this, but it's not only it's mental as well as physical, as the guilt wears in the soul. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Principle of the believer is to keep his body pure before God because it belongs to God. Verses 19 and 20. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Principle of the believer is to keep his body pure before God, because it belongs to God, along with 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is a good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We will pick up the next class and look at the biblical illustration of a classical rape case. Father, we thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise it will not return void. Pray you'll bless it to our spiritual feed for the soul.